Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 27 April, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship with you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 8. This chapter is loaded. There are so many wonderful, magnificent, and powerful doctrines in chapter 8. And we're going to start the corrected translation at verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, that is, under the control of the sin nature, but in the Spirit, assuming that the Spirit of God dwells in you, and He does. But if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, this one, the unbeliever, does not belong to him, to God. In fact, if Christ is in you, first-class condition, and He is the indwelling of Jesus Christ in every church-age believer. On the one hand, the body is subject to death because of the sin nature. But on the other hand, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness imputed at salvation. Well, we are so unbelievably blessed in the dispensation we live in. We live in the church age. Began at Pentecost, we'll conclude with the rapture. There's been no dispensation in all of human history like this one as far as the fantastic blessings God has given to us. Sad to say, most believers don't even realize what those blessings are. But we have a double portion of the righteousness of God. We have a double portion of eternal life. We have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. We have two divine commissions, a universal priesthood of the believer. We are all royal priests representing ourselves before the living and true God. And we have all been appointed ambassadors for Jesus Christ, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And to whom much is given, much is expected. And that is a great privilege and a great honor that we have as royal family of God's, so magnificently blessed in this dispensation that we live in. In Romans 8:10, that introduces the indwelling of Jesus Christ. And we have been studying the doctrine of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. And we've studied the first 5 points and just barely got started on point 6. Point 1 was the prophecy of the indwelling of Jesus Christ, John 14, verses 19 and 20. Oh, look what the dog drugged in just this morning. Yeah. You can sit right up here if you want. Yeah. No, no, you can sit right there. You go. You're welcome. Point 2 was the verification of the indwelling of Christ in our Lord's Prayer for the Church, John 17, 22 to 26. Point 3 was the indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to the mysterion, the mystery doctrines of the church age. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1, 25 to 29. And then point 4, the relationship between the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit provides a temple. Your body is made a temple for the indwelling of Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, and the indwelling of God the Father. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. The combination of the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the basis for the unique spiritual life of the church age, and that's our verse, Romans 8:10. From the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit, we learn about the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory, and the indwelling of God the Father. We are indwelt by the entire Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this results in the transformation of our lives into the image of the Shekinah glory, 2 Corinthians 3:14 to 18. And then point five, we have the doctrinal test. The doctrinal test regarding the indwelling of Christ. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, very important verse. We have a mandate. Test yourselves. Test yourselves to determine if you are in the faith. If you are in the, well, have maximum metabolized doctrine, the body of faith in your heart or not. Test yourselves to determine if you are in the faith. And then another command, keep on examining yourselves. Or do you not know this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you flunk the test. Now here we have a principle about self-examination. Now, self-examination must always be done with the greatest possible objectivity. And that can only be accomplished in a satisfactory manner through learning and believing the absolute truth of the Word of God. Once you have the absolute truth of God's Word in your heart, then you can look at yourself through the mirror of the Word of God and evaluate yourself on the basis of aletheia, absolute truth of God's Word. Now, you cannot do this in the state of ignorance of the Word of God. The only measure you are to use is the God-breathed scriptures that you've learned, that you have believed, that is in your heart, and what it says about your life. Objective self-examination under the privacy of your own priesthood is only possible when you are consistently and faithfully learning and believing the Word of God. Under the privacy of your own priesthood, you must examine yourself in every area of your life. For example, you examine yourself regarding sin. This is the only way that you will ever know that you must rebound to get back into fellowship with God. You got to know that you've sinned. There are a lot of believers out there, they think that they've never sinned, that they've arrived, but they are steeped in sin. I am sinking deep in sin. Whee! That's where they are, see. You have to examine yourself regard to sin. That's the only way you can know that you have to use 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you have to examine yourself and stop pointing your finger at everybody else and point the finger at yourself. And if see, take a look in the mirror of the Word of God. If you have sinned, you got to rebound. Keep short accounts. Get back into fellowship with God. So you must be aware of sin in your life before you will ever confess that sin, acknowledge it, and get back into fellowship with God. And you examine yourself to see if you are fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. That is, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates that great functional virtue, impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God. You examine yourself regarding suffering in your life. Is that suffering self-induced misery? Is that suffering punitive suffering from God, divine discipline? Or is that suffering for blessing? Because you are a spiritually adult believer and God has blessed you you have the very special honor to wear a special mantle, the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. Now, you can't really answer these questions about yourself unless you, first of all, have God's absolute truth in your heart. Now, that brings us to point six, and we just barely got started in point six last Sunday with the first two subpoints. Point six, the implications of the indwelling of Christ. The implications of the indwelling of Christ. First of all, we noted the indwelling of Jesus Christ is a sign of royalty, that we are royal family of God. While the baptism of the Spirit is the means of forming the royal family of God, the indwelling of Christ is both the sign of the royal family as well as another expression of the uniqueness of this great dispensation, the church age. And then subpoint two, the indwelling of Jesus Christ is a guarantee of our portfolio of invisible assets, and we reviewed those last Sunday. Now that brings us to subpoint three this morning. Subpoint three. The indwelling of Jesus Christ is a guarantee of our eternal security. A guarantee of our eternal security. There are some things, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you ought to be absolutely thinking that, well, first of all, you have eternal salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, you are saved. You have eternal salvation. You're going to be in heaven. And I can't tell you how many believers I've talked to, and are you going to be in heaven? I don't know if they're a believer. Are you going to be in heaven?
I hope so.
You hope so? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Just faith in Christ for eternal salvation? Yes, but I don't know. I haven't been living that great of a life, you know. Well, you might not have been living that great of a life. It seems like, I can tell you right now, you're not living that great of a life. You don't even know if you're saved or not. If you believed in Christ, you're saved. You're going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, what you need to do is find yourself a sound Bible teaching church. Get your patootie in there. Sit down and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then you'll know these things. And you'll have confidence. Maximum confidence in God. Maximum confidence in the Word of God. And there's nothing like that. So the indwelling of Jesus Christ is the guarantee of our eternal security. Four. The indwelling of Jesus Christ is a guarantee of your greater grace blessing package. That God has a greater grace blessing package for you. Absolute. Every one of you. Every one of you here, everyone listening to this all over, through email classes, MP3s, around the world. The indwelling of Jesus Christ is the guarantee that God has a greater grace blessing package for you personally. And He designed it in eternity past. Perfectly for you. Now, it is a guarantee that billions of years ago, God the Father created and placed on deposit in Christ fantastic greater grace blessings for you. However, the indwelling of Christ is not a guarantee that you will receive your greater grace blessing package. You have it. God the Father created it in eternity past with your name on it just for you. But the indwelling of Christ is the guarantee that you have that greater grace blessing package for you. But the indwelling of Christ is not the guarantee that you will receive that greater grace blessing package. Only that they do exist with your name on it. And you will never receive your greater grace blessing package until you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Fulfill the mandates of the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up spiritually. You have to grow up from a baby to adolescence to spiritual adulthood. Grow up in grace orientation, grow up in doctrinal orientation, attain spiritual maturity, attain the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and then it's a slam dunk. Subpoint five. The indwelling of Jesus Christ emphasizes our relationship with God first, and then people. The indwelling of Jesus Christ emphasizes God emphasis over people emphasis. The fact that the church age believer is indwelt by all three members of the Trinity. This just blows me away every time I concentrate. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the entire Godhead, is living in me and in you and every one of you. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The fact that the church age believer is indwelt by all three members of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that provides a new emphasis for your life, a new priority for your life. As long as you emphasize experience with people over experience with God, your experience in life will be characterized by self-induced misery, your own bad decision, and punitive suffering from your own bad decisions. Here's the principle. People emphasis over God emphasis results in problem after problem after problem after problem. People emphasis over God emphasis results in problem after problem after problem. Here's another principle. Putting God first in your life, right experience with God, putting God first, spiritual priorities first, living the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, results in right relationships with people. That results in right relationships with people. And when I was at Washington State University, of course, you've heard about Pastor Breckel and Bethany Bible Church, and I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ right there in Bethany Bible Church. Well, my mom and dad would come down for Parents' Day. They had a Parents' Day at WSU. Mom and dad would come down, and they came up to my room in Stevenson South, and it was Sunday, and I said, Mom and Dad, I said, there's a great church, great local church here. The pastor is a fantastic pastor teaching the Word of God. My mother was a believer. My father was not. And I said, I am going to go to church. I said, I'm glad that you came down for Parents' Day. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to study God. I'm going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I'm going to worship Him. He's number one. But you know, because I worship the Lord and love Him, that gives me the capacity to love you, Mom and Dad, the way I love you. It's because I love Him first, and that gives me the capacity to love you the way I do. I would love to have you come and join me. If you want to come, let's go. If not, if you can stay right here in my room, I'll be back in about an hour and a half, and we'll spend the rest of the day together. There's so many things to go and see in Pullman, Washington. I don't think so. There's one movie theater, and there's, well, one, maybe two decent restaurants, but we will definitely paint the town Pullman red. So I went, worship my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was absolutely 100% putting God first. I love my mom. I love my dad. I love my family. But because I put God first, gives me capacity to love my mom and dad, my wife, my children, which I don't know why I'm calling them children. Now they're big, ugly adults with their own children. So, but that's where the capacity to love them comes from, because I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's first. That's what the indwelling of Christ means. It means the closest person in my life is God. The closest person in your life is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're with you every second of every day. They indwell you. They're with you every second of every day. That's the closest person in your life is God. That should be where your priorities reside. And the winner believer, that is the priority. So right experience with God, living the spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, results in right relationships with people. Another principle, your priorities then in your life should be established by those who are closest to you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They indwell you. They're with you every second of every day. So your priority should be established by those who are closest to you. And that is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They indwell you. They are with you every second of every day. Therefore, your priority must be God emphasis over people emphasis. The key to right priorities is the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Point 7. The indwelling of Jesus Christ provides a challenge for the royal family of God at the communion service. The indwelling of Jesus Christ provides a challenge for the royal family of God at the communion service. The person whom we worship in the communion service indwells our body. And the challenge is always who and what Christ is. Jesus Christ gave this mandate to us. 1 Corinthians 11:24 and 25. Keep on doing this in remembrance of me, Jesus Christ. Keep on doing this in remembrance of me. That's a mandate, not an option. You cannot remember someone that you do not even know. The communion service is designed to bring to memory all of those magnificent doctrines concerning the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who indwells each one of us. So the indwelling of Jesus Christ provides a challenge for you at the communion service. 8.8, summary and highlights. Summary and highlights. Now, the unique spiritual life of the church age emphasizes this unique status that the entire Trinity indwells our body, the body of every believer. First of all, the significance of the indwelling of God the Father. First of all, the significance of the indwelling of God the Father. Subpoint one, the indwelling of God the Father is related to the glorification of His plan for us in the church age. That's Ephesians chapter 1. It's related to the glorification of His plan for us in the church age, Ephesians chapter 1. Two, the indwelling of God the Father provides assurance regarding His work in eternity past on our behalf, providing the five steps to glory. I told you at the beginning of the class this morning, Romans 8 is just loaded with great doctrines. And we have coming up in Romans 8, 29 and 30, the five steps to glory. Romans 8, 29 and 30. So turn, we'll preview of coming attractions. Romans 8, 29 and 30. And I know you've heard my illustrations so many times, you know them better than I do. But Dallas Theological Seminary, and I was there after Lewis Berry Chafer had gone to heaven. But the professors who were there, all of them would say, in chapel, when Dr. Chafer would be in charge of chapel, his favorite passage to teach was Romans 8, 29 and 30. That was his favorite passage. And that's the five steps to glory that God the Father has laid out for us. Romans 8, 29, for whom He foreknew, that's the first step to glory, foreknowledge. He also predestined, that's the second step to glory, predestination. To become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then verse 30, and whom He predestined, He also called, elected to privilege, the third step to glory. And those whom He called and elected to privilege, these He also justified, the fourth step to glory. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. The fifth step to glory. So here we have, and this is God the Father designed this plan for each one of us. Five steps to glory. Romans 8, 29 and 30. So subpoint two again, it provides assurance regarding God the Father's work in eternity past on our behalf, providing the five steps to glory. Third, He is the mastermind and the designer of our very own unique spiritual life of the church age. He is the mastermind and the designer of our very own unique spiritual life of the church age. So that's the first. First, the significance of the indwelling of God the Father. Second, the significance of the indwelling of Christ. The significance of the indwelling of Christ. First of all, one, it is the sign or the badge that we are royal family of God. It's the sign or badge that we are royal family of God. too. It is a guarantee of our portfolio of invisible assets. A guarantee of our portfolio of invisible assets. We went over that last time. Three, it is a guarantee of life after death in the presence of God. It's a guarantee of life after death in the presence of God. Four, it is motivation for spiritual momentum, motivating us to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and attain spiritual maturity. Five, it is the basis for assigning number one priority to relationship with God over relationship with mankind. It is the basis for assigning number one priority to relationship with God over relationship with people. And then third, the third is the significance of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. The significance of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. First of all, to make our body a temple. To make our body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ and God the Father. So the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, first of all, is to make our bodies a temple. Well, I got all these temples in here, your bodies, where the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, and God the Father is indwelling you as well as the Spirit. Secondly, to provide a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the spiritual life, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which is the only way you're going to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, so that we can live the spiritual life, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in our heart, and that we might glorify God to the maximum in the short time while we're here now, and then glorify God for all eternity. Because when you fulfill the spiritual life by the filling of the Spirit, teaching ministry of the Spirit, when you attain spiritual maturity, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, God pours out the greater grace blessing package. It's reality for you in time and following the rapture at the judgment seat of Christ, you will be evaluated and rewarded. Crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings given to you for all eternity. And those crowns and rewards glorify God for all eternity. And point nine, so in conclusion, the indwelling of Christ provides a new emphasis, a new motivation, and a new priority for the new spiritual species called the church, the body of Christ. So in conclusion, the indwelling of Christ provides a new emphasis, a new motivation, and a new priority for the new spiritual species which we are, called the church, the body of Christ. All right. Now, that brings us to verse 11. Verse 11, we always start out with the King James, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Well, this is the post-positive conjunction deb plus the conditional particle ae plus the noun pneuma with the definite article plus the present active indicative of oikeo plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun sou plus the articular aorist active participle of agero plus the accusative singular of Jesus with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive plural of nekros. Whew. You get that all down? No? Okay. Well, we start out with the post-positive conjunction de. De. This is a transitional use of de. This is not used as a conjunction of contrast. This is a transitional use of de, and it may be translated and, moreover, then, or now. We're going to translate it now, and then we have the conditional particle a. E-I-A. And this is a conditional particle plus the indicative. A plus the indicative introduces a first class condition. If the Spirit indwells you, first class condition, and He does indwell you. The moment of salvation He indwelled you. And He will always indwell you for all eternity. You'll be indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. It occurs the moment of faith in Christ forever. So you can never lose the indwelling of the Spirit. You lose the filling of the Spirit through sin, recover through rebound. You can never lose the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. So if the Spirit indwells you, first class condition, and He does, and then the word pneuma, I know you call it pneuma, but no Greek would ever say pneuma. If you were in living at this time and taking Greek and you said pneuma, flunk, you flunk. It's pneuma. Spirit. And this is God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Now the Spirit is described as the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. So He's the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, and that's looking at God the Father. So this is the articular aorist active participle of agero with the accusative singular of Jesus plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive plural of nekros. All right. Agero. E-G-E-I-R long O. Agero. All right, literally, agero means to wake somebody up that's sleeping. They're sleeping, so you wake them up. Figuratively, agero is the main verb for resurrection, the doctrine of resurrection. And this is an articular participle, and the articular participle is substantival, and therefore it functions as a noun. And it would be translated, the one who raised up Jesus from the dead. This is putting the spotlight on God the Father as the agent of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is true, both the Father and the Spirit are agents in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But our verse, Romans 8:11, is putting the spotlight on God the Father. So, now if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, of the one, God the Father, who raised up Jesus, Jesus, and then Ek. This takes me all the way back to Dallas Seminary. Oh boy. It looks like that in the Greek and in English, but in Greek class, they had a preposition box. And the preposition box for X was, there's the box. And that's how it's illustrated. So when I see ek, I see that preposition box. It means out from. Out from, and then the genitive plural of nekros, all the dead ones. Now, if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, of the one, God the Father, who raised up Jesus out from all the dead ones. All right. Well, I'm going to take it. We'll take a break there. And we'll pick it up this point for when we get to part two. But we'll give you a few minutes to go out and have fantastic refreshments out there. And if you go to sleep, I'll have to come and wake you up.